We're in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I think there's going to be, I hope there's some things in here for you as well as me. And having this idea of, it's got this idea of just slowing down and remembering. The title of my message is going to be out of verse 12, Remember These Things. So if you will, just turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 15. You just read along with me if you would. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And if mostly we'll stay in 2 Peter chapter 1, but if you keep your place there and turn also to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, I'd just like to look at the first word there. See if you notice a word that kind of stands out. It did to me. That's what captured my attention and what the source of this message was. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, Peter writes and says, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And so, there's no other book in the Bible that has the word remembrance in it more than 2 Peter. I thought that was kind of interesting. And you look right here in these verses, verse 12 through 15, and we see that word three times. And so, Peter really is telling us, I want you to remember some things. Now, Peter, he's kind of a unique guy. I remember one time I heard a message, a guy said, Peter's one of those guys that he was, don't just stand there, say something. And Peter could have a lot of things to remember, could he not? He was an apostle. That's a pretty elite group, isn't it, already? And he was what we call one of the inner circle, too. So he was somebody who was very close to the Lord. And Peter had walked since he was called, he walked with the Lord for 3.5 years on this earth, and he saw Jesus do miracles, and he had been with the Lord, and he's one of the, probably out of the apostles, he's probably one of the ones that's described the most and talked about the most. And Peter could have really remembered a lot of things. But he's going to be real specific about some of the things that he does remember. I think it's interesting that, you know, Peter could have thought about when he was out on the sea and the waves came, and he was, for a moment, he had his eyes on the Lord and everything was fine. Then he didn't have his eyes on the Lord and things weren't so good. That would be a great message right there. We could talk about that. I got a warning for you. I don't have to work tomorrow. I'm sorry for anybody that does, but we could stay there for a while and think about how Peter really didn't have to, when he got his eyes off the Lord, that's when the troubles started happening. He could have thought about when he was before the Lord and he heard the Lord ask him three times. You know, that I'm just imagining that must have hurt to hear the Lord ask him three times, do you love me? The first time, it would have been nice. Oh, the Lord's interested in me and he wants to know. The second time, I probably would have been a little, maybe, I don't know, cautious or leery. And the third time, I think he just probably would have heard. He could have thought about, man, the Lord asking me three times that question. He could have remembered back. Could you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ standing there right before you and looking you right in the eye and saying, get me behind me. I don't want to make eye contact with anybody. Get me behind me, Satan. Can you imagine that? Maybe after your introduction, you deserve that one. Okay, but standing there and saying, get me behind me, Satan. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ saying that? That could be something burned in Peter's mind that he would never get out of his mind. Now, Peter could have thought about a lot of things. He could have thought about when Paul came up to him and said, I withstood him. Here's how Paul said it. I withstood him to the face. He could have remembered, man, that Paul, I don't know why he's got to be so nitpicky about how I act with the Jews and how I act with the Gentiles. And he's got to get all his feathers in a ruffle and be like that. He could have been thinking about the great apostle Paul and how he was rebuked by him. Peter could have thought about a lot of different things. He could have thought about how he stood there and told the Lord, everybody else is going to forsake you, Lord. Count on me. And we know what he did. He forsook the Lord three times publicly like that. And he could have thought about that. He had a lot of he had a lot of things to think about, but you know what? When we look at these verses, we're going to see that those are the things that he didn't think about. And I think there's some things to learn about that. I have a nephew-in-law, maybe is the word. Genealogy. I got lots of things that aren't my forte. English and genealogy are right on the top of the list. I have a nephew-in-law or something like that. Anyways, when I say something like that, it's because I don't know the relation. What he is an evangelist. And he said, Brother Paul, or he just probably calls me Paul, I don't know, whatever, just sitting down there. I said, what do you want, Marvin? Hey, Paul, that's how we talk when we're down there at the kinfolk in Tennessee. And he says, are you in a state of revival right now? I like the guy. He's always talking about the Lord. He's very engaging. He's very interesting. I said, I don't know, Marvin. I'm not sure if I'm in a state of revival right now or not. Are you in a state of revival, Marvin? And he goes, yes, I am. And I said, well, how do you know that you're in a state of revival, Marvin? And he said, because right now, today, this very moment, I'm closer to the Lord right now than I've ever been. Now, Marvin hears a lot of preaching, and I thought that he told me that, and it kind of stuck in my mind. And if I thought right now, am I as close to the Lord as I've ever been in my whole life, I just have to tell you, I don't know if that would really be my state right now. But we find out that, you know, you can think back. If you've been saved long at all, you can look back, and I'm assuming you're like me, and you had some times you disappointed the Lord. You weren't trusting on Him. You weren't counting on Him. Tried to do things in your own self, your own willpower, your own flesh. You find out it was just like I find out. It was failure. You can sit back and think about those things, or you can think about things where the Lord delivered you, where the Lord was strong and mighty. And Peter could have thought about a lot of things that were really dragging him down. But that's not what he remembers. I hope you're still in 2 Peter. And if you could look at if you could look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I'll also remind you that Peter's writing towards the end of his life, and he's in what he calls and what he says are perilous times. He says in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Peter had a lot to be, would you say, he could focus a lot on some negative things. He could have thought about a lot of stuff in his life. It really could, you know, it's easy. I can get down in Lowville with the best of them. I can take a fast track into thinking about wrong and things that just aren't very edifying. It's easy to do. Okay, it is easy to do, isn't it? You know what? This is the time of the year, especially when most people, it's sad to say, so many people commit suicide. They're lonely. They're thinking about, I don't know how they get to that state. But you know what? We should remember that it says whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what are we supposed to do? Those are the things that we're supposed to think about. Think on these things. So Peter, he's in the last days, he's in perilous times, they're scoffers, and you hate to think about it, but it seems like, man, it was a lot better back then than it is now. But so what does that mean for us? The same things that Peter focused on may be the same things that we need to focus on. Peter says in verse 16 in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. You know, I think Peter, out of all the things he could have remembered, you know what he remembered? When he was with the Lord. I don't know where you are right now. I'll say again, if I was honest, I don't know if this is my time when I'm closest to the Lord. I'll have to tell Marvin, I'm not sure if I'm in. Do I want to be in a state of revival? You betcha. That's the direction I want to be heading in. That's where I want to be. I want to grow close to the Lord. Peter, he kind of is saying in a way, if you want to be close to the Lord, you ought to be thinking about the times when you were. Think about when I hope right now you say, if you asked if I'm in a state of revival, that's me. I'm as close as I've ever been. But if you're like me, you might think about, man, I would like to be that way. I want to be close to the Lord. I want to draw close to the Lord. And Peter's kind of saying here, he's saying, out of all the things I could have remembered, Are the times when I forsook the Lord, when Paul rebuked me, when I was in the ship and I took my eyes off the Lord, out of all the things that went wrong in my life, you know what I'm going to think about? When I was on the mount with him. And you know what he didn't say? He did. It's kind of funny when I read this, I kind of think, he said, when I was on the mount with him, and he didn't say, and that's when I told him we ought to build 3 tabernacles. He probably wasn't even thinking about that. He was just thinking about when he was with the Lord. And I think that's something for us to do. You got times in your life when you're closer to the Lord. You got times when you get, it's the busy time right now, and you get times when you get busy, and it's natural for us to draw away from the Lord. But I think it's good for us to study and look at Peter. And he's got an interesting thing that he's going to, when he uses this word remember, he used it in verse 12, he used it in verse 13, and he used it in verse 15. You know, Peter had kind of a, I guess it was said explicitly of Peter. The Lord asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus told him, you're really blessed, Peter, not only because of that information, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to thee. Don't we need to cry out for that verse? Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. For the Lord to speak to our hearts, and the Lord to talk to us, and the Lord to draw us closer. If you're like me, you'd say, man, I'm going to draw closer to the Lord. I want to draw closer to Jesus. I am going to make my mind up to get closer. It's just another act of the flesh, you know that? What I need to do is say, Lord, it's not inside of me, you know that? Naturally, I know what my bent is. I don't just sing that song. I live that song, prone to wander, Lord. I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's what's in my flesh. It dwells no good thing. We're not cunningly devised by Satan's attacks where he makes our flesh feel like there's something good about it. It was your enemy before you got saved. And if you're saved, praise God for that. And it's still your enemy. And we need to ask the Lord to have victory over these things. And Peter, he had a unique ministry. One thing about him is he wasn't, so many of the books we study, it's just a kind of a small thing. Well, not small, it's just a little interesting thing that came out in my study. Most of the books we study are written to Corinth or Galatia or Philippi, or most of them are written to churches. And Peter's just writing, you know who he's writing to? Just to Christians. It wasn't addressed to a particular book. It's just from Peter, and it's written to Christians. I'm not saying that the other books aren't written to Christians. It's just a passing thing that Peter is writing to me and to you, and he's saying, I know some of the things you're going to run into. Now, in verse 12, and this is the thing that really captured my attention. Please read along with me in verse 12, if you would. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. That just got a hold of me. You know, I think so many times I've sat in a pew and I've sit down here and I'm hearing a message saying, well, today's message is going to be on the cross and we're going to talk about Jesus. And I kind of sit back and go, on the cross and Jesus? Man, I already can think of a whole bunch of verses about the cross. I can think of a whole bunch of verses about Jesus. I'm about 99% sure there's not going to be anything new I'm going to hear. I'll listen to the message. That'll be good. I'm kind of looking forward to hearing it, but it's going to be familiar territory. You know what Peter says? He writes here and he says, though ye know them. He's saying, put the brakes on. You know these things. And then he says, on top of it, he says, and you're established in the present truth. These aren't newbies. These aren't people that are still on the milk of the word. These are people that know the truths of God. And they're established, and they got a foundation in the truths of God. And Peter says, you're the one that's in the most trouble, you know that? I know these things. I already heard these things. I'm comfortable with these things. He said, you're in a bad place. I love God's word. I would not say, here's a big college word. Isn't that so counterintuitive? Does that just not make sense? It doesn't have to make sense. It's got to be out of God's Word. That's what's exciting about it. He says, you're comfortable, you're ready, you're familiar, you're even established. That's a pretty big thing to say about Christians that are established in God's Word. There were a lot of them that, I mean, they didn't even have the whole account. This is just one letter that Peter had. They didn't have the whole counsel of God like we can look up and study and have references. They're fragments. And he said to these Christians, you're established and you better watch it. And you know what? So that's what captured my attention. I thought, why did he says they already know these things and now he's writing these things to them? Why is he telling them something they already know? We must need it. That's why he's telling us what we already know. It's not a new thing with Peter either. Please turn to Judges chapter 1. That's the most... I'm sorry. Jude. That's what I get for making a slight joke there. Jude chapter 1. It's the most important chapter in the book of Jude. Turn to Jude chapter 1 verse 5, please. That's Jude chapter 1 verse 5. And I just want to establish a small thing. A foundational thing, if you will. That Peter wasn't the only one that said it's very important that you remember these things. Things that we may already know, things that we may already be familiar with. It's a common theme throughout the Bible. Jude chapter 1 verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He says, I'm going to put you into remembrance, though ye once knew this. Apparently we forget. I'm not going to say about you. I've got test cases galore. Whenever I go to these family reunions, I can't tell you how many people I don't know anymore. And it's getting that way in the halls of work. Apparently we forget these things, and that's one of the reasons. He said, though you knew them at one time, you need to remember them. Paul writes, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Paul writes this, and he has the same idea in mind. While you're turning there, just to think about the fact that even though we know something and we're familiar with it, a place of comfortability doesn't seem like it's a good place in the Christian life. What I mean by that is we're not supposed to be just coasting along and at ease in Zion. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants to be active and vibrant and real in our lives. You say, well, there's only so many things to talk about out of the Bible. Good. We got to be remembered about the ones maybe we already know. He's telling us that. He's saying, even though you already know it, you need to remember these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for what? In samples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know, there's two ways to learn about things. Well, there's probably more. I'm too ignorant to know what the other ones are. There's only two ways I know to learn of something. I'll just spit it out. You can learn it by experience, or you can learn it by learning from someone else. I am, except for maybe Cedar Point, I'm in the camp that wants to learn by learning from reading or finding out from somebody else. There's enough warnings in the Bible, I don't need to go experience them for myself. And Peter's writing and saying, you know what, Paul's writing, he says, now these things happen to us for what? Examples. They're written. We're supposed to remind ourselves because we forget. We're supposed to think about these things so they're an example for us so we don't have to experience it ourselves firsthand. This reminds me of so much of when they have there's a dog in a cage and it's barking, it wants out. It's the little poodle buzzing around trying to get out of the cage. And you know that story that there's a Great Dane sitting on the outside just wanting to eat Fluffy and the dog can't stand the cage and it's trying to get out. This Bible, do you know it's for our good? It's for our learning. Paul writes and says in Romans, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. That's why he writes it to us. We're supposed to remember those things and think about the things of the Bible, and they'll help us. Now turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, just another example of this idea that we should be trying to learn and remember the things. Maybe we already know them. You know what, if we're real, so many times, okay, maybe I knew something one time and I really do forget it. And there's lots of things. I'll never forget this guy. And we were out on the bus route, knocking on visitation. He's got his daughter used to, I don't remember their names anymore. This is 15 years ago. His daughter used to ride the bus, and she came pretty faithfully. She had been coming for a month or 6 weeks or something. So if you've ever worked, lots of people worked in the bus ministry. Your goal is you're trying to get the whole family to come to church. You're trying to get as many to come and hear about the gospel and get saved and maybe even have a Christian home if the Lord would work that way. We've seen it happen a lot of times. So the daughter, she's about 11 or 12 years old. She'd been riding the bus for a little while. Her parents never seemed to be home. That wasn't unusual. This is in the inner city of Cleveland. That was not that unusual. But finally, one week, I come by on a Saturday morning, and her dad's there. She goes, "Oh, Brother Becker, I wanted to introduce you to my dad. This is Bob." Not really. I can't remember Bob's. That's why we have to remember these things, because we don't remember stuff. So his name is Bob. I'll never forget what the guy said, though. I go, "Hey, your daughter's been riding our bus. We'd really love you to come to church with us. Why don't you come and ride the church bus? We got good singing on the church bus. We'll learn about Jesus. We'll talk about the Bible, and they got great services. We'd like to bring it to our church services and come ride the bus. What do you think about that?" And he said, he goes, "I pretty much got the Bible down. I don't ever know if I ever met anybody that said that before." He goes, "I pretty much got the Bible down." Okay, if that wasn't enough, I said, I was intrigued. I said, "Well, where did you learn the Bible that well? Maybe it's a place I need to find." He goes, "Well, I was in prison a long time." So I was studying it. You know what? We don't have to experience everything ourselves. We can learn about it from others. That's why God wrote the Bible to us. And he also says that even though it's familiar to you, even though you might already know it, it's still important to study and concentrate on, because we can slide. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now please drop down with me to verse 23 and verse 24 in Romans chapter 4. Verse 3 is a famous, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." You might say, "Oh man, that's great for Abraham. He learned to trust in God. He learned to believe in God. And that was, the Bible says, that was counted to him for righteousness." But look at what it says in verse 23. "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him," that he had God's righteousness imputed unto him. It says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead." It's not just for Abraham. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. God writes these things and talks about Abraham, and it's something it wasn't just for Abraham to know about. It's for us to know about too. So he writes these things. He gives us examples. He gives us things that we might be familiar with. He say, "Oh yeah, I've heard it before." Good. It's a good thing for us to hear it again. Do you know if I could only hear something in the Bible one time? It's anemic compared to what some people do. I don't want to name too much, but I remember Danny Woven saying he read his Bible through 12 times. He read the whole thing through every month. So I'm going to tell you, since I got saved, I read my Bible through every year. Now, maybe lots of people read more, lots of people read less. But I'll say one thing is, if all I could do, if I got to the end of the Bible and go, "Well, finish that off. What's next?" Aren't you glad that we can read verses over again and look at them a second and third and fourth? How many of you ever heard a message where, I remember when Pastor Folger and Pastor Thompson, one of them was out of town, and I don't remember the verse. There's so many things I don't remember, but I do remember they preached out of the same verse. They didn't know each other was preaching out of it. And they preach it like one Wednesday and one Sunday or something like that. They were right close to each other. And they were two totally different messages. You know that? The Bible's got, it's a living book. It's a breathing book. And it's something that we should never get. It's a good thing that we don't get so familiar and comfortable with it. "Oh, I know what that sermon's going to be about." No, you don't. I might not even finish where I think I'm going tonight. So, you know what? When we read God's Word, it's real for us. It's alive for us. Now, I'll tell you, we're in our Sunday school lesson, we're studying a guy named Solomon. well, we're not studying Solomon in particular, but he bleeds through the pages. We're studying in Ecclesiastes, and he's the author. You know what hurts about Solomon and studying about him? You know what other, of course we know, many of you will know, maybe all of us, he wrote, of course, the book of Proverbs. And those verses, for me, I just turned to them so many times. I wish I had more Proverbs memorized. They're just nuggets. Like, they're standalone verses. A lot of times they're not. A few times there's some context with them, but a lot of times they just stand alone by themselves, and you read them, and to realize that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. It was just a book of wisdom. And then we're reading in Ecclesiastes, and it gets so, I don't know what to say, sad. He almost goes insane getting things, doesn't he? Couldn't you almost sum it up like that? He almost seems like a madman to me by the end of his life. I got things. I made it a point just to get whatever I could, get all the things I can. It's still vanity and vexation. Nothing. So I went and got this. I got me this. I got me that. I got. Man, is that how Proverbs is written? Doesn't seem like it to me. Read Proverbs and see all kinds of... I was asking Pastor, I said, you know, Pastor, I think I heard along the way, and I'm not sure about it. It makes sense to me, but I don't want to say anything, you know, that's... I do not want to be up here saying, I love our pastor and he gives us so many words of truth and I've grown so much, I just don't want to say something contradictory. I say that in love. And so I asked him, I said, you know, because I'm back in the Sunday school back here, right? And you guys are doing Ecclesiastes out here and I'm studying Ecclesiastes. I said, I think I heard it somewhere, but I don't really have any verse that says it or anything. I said, but doesn't it seem like Solomon wrote Proverbs when he was younger? Because there was so much good stuff there. It's almost like it's hard to believe that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are the same author. And I said, I think I've heard it somewhere that he probably wrote Proverbs when he was younger, and he probably wrote Ecclesiastes when he was older, and he probably kind of grew away from the Lord. Now, we know he grew away from the Lord. The Lord promised that if you have wives with the other nations, that your heart's going to be drawn away, and that's what he did. So it seems like later in his life he was like this. I said, have you ever heard anything like that? And he said to me, he goes, well, if I haven't, I've been saying the wrong thing in Sunday school for several weeks. So that was a relief for me. But you know what the sad thing about in Ecclesiastes is? It seems like Solomon, isn't Proverbs a lot more profitable? He seems like he was closer to the Lord, given great things about stuff. Ecclesiastes seems like so much a thing of things not to do. You say, I want to be a testimony. I want to be a witness. I want to be a testimony. You have a testimony. All of us have a testimony. It's either good or bad. And unfortunately, it seems like Solomon's got poor towards the end of his life. So what do we deduce from that? One thing I know I'm saying is, I'm not a drop in the sand of knowledge that Solomon had. I'm no smarter than he was. But he seemed to forget the Lord, didn't he? If Solomon did that, and he had God's wisdom, what kind of situation are we? Don't want to forget the Lord, do we? Even if we're familiar with something or we know truths about God's word, we need to remind ourselves of them and be thoughtful of them. Jude writes it, Paul writes it in Romans, Corinthians. He writes it also when he talks about Abraham. It's important for us to remember the things of God. Now, if you're in 2 Peter, let's look in chapter 1, verse 8. And I think, I say this in love, I think sometimes we kind of think that, well, if I'll remember these things and I'll go closer to the Lord, that's good. And if I don't, well, I don't want to say, I don't even know what te sera means, but I think we kind of get the casual, I'll look that up later. I think we get a very casual or passive or non-engaging type of attitude towards the Lord. We can say it this way. Peter's writing and saying, I want you to remember these things. And we can say, okay, I'm with you. I'm no smarter than Solomon. I know I forgot the Lord. I might not be as close to the Lord as I've ever been. I'm glad Peter's telling me to remember these things. I'm going to do that. There could be a group or someone just sitting here saying, well, I'd like to kind of remember those things. Oh, really long day. I feel your pain a little bit, but not so much. I'm on vacation right now. I've got more energy on a Thursday night than I've had in a... Well, I've never been here on Thursday night, but you get the idea, right? So you might be sitting there thinking, well, okay, I kind of like... Or even in the morning, maybe you're more... I'm more of a morning person to be... So, but you might be thinking a little bit more, well, yeah, it'd be nice to learn these things and remember these things, or, well, if not, it's, okay, well, I'm not doing what I could, but at least I'm doing something. Or I know my mind plays tricks on me. We rationalize ourselves and get in all kinds of, like, I get in weird places sometimes with the way my mind thinks. I don't think about simple things. Here's my point of all that. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Peter's writing to us and saying, you can remember these things. I know they're familiar. I know you know them. I know you're established in them. I'm still telling you about them. You can remember these things, and if you don't, there's a cost to not. There's a cost to not remembering the things of God. He says you're going to be barren, unfruitful, and blind. Man, I don't want adjectives like that with me. I don't want that to describe my relationship to the Lord. And Peter's saying, if you don't remember these things, there's a cost to it. I don't know why we, our God is an extreme God, you know that? There's no purgatory. There's a real heaven. There's a real hell. He wants to be in our lives and live through us and reach a lost and dying world. And casual Christianity is not promoted in the Bible anywhere. I've been too casual too many times. I know it. That might be on my tombstone someday. I know the Lord doesn't want us to be passive or casual in our Christianity. Brother Rich and I were knocking on a door. It was about, it was definitely this winter. That's another thing I forget. I don't know the date. It was probably around October or November. We knocked on a door, and we came up to it, and the man opened the door up, and his one eye was rather large, and his other eye was sealed shut. And we said... I think Rich was kind of, he happened to be the one to knock on the door, and he said, I wanted to give you a gospel track, invite you to our church, and come on we could bring you in a church van if you like, but we wanted to give you an invitation to our church, let you know you can know you got a home in heaven, and give you this little pamphlet. It's got some verses on there being encouragement to you. He said this, I am totally blind. Well, I thought that was something that he opened the door. I was glad he opened the door. And he took our track, and he said maybe he'd be able to get somebody to read it to him. We kind of shared the gospel with him a little bit, but both of us kind of walked away. We felt that we didn't have the right words for this. I don't know if you've ever visited with somebody and walked away and said, Lord, please help me. I need you. I'm not saying the right things. Candidly, that's what we kind of said when we walked away. We didn't have the right words. What an object, if you want to say object lesson. He's blind. It was easy to see a physically blind man. I could tell something when he said it. You could tell he was blind. He said, I'm totally blind. I can't see a thing. The thing is about a physical blindness, it's so obvious, isn't it? They a lot of times blind people will use a cane. But is that what Peter's talking about? You don't do these things and not going to be able to see anymore? We all know that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that we can be spiritually blind. We can spiritually just be disengaged, no sensitivity to what the Lord wants to do in our lives. That's where we can be. He tells us that. He says, you don't remember these things, you're going to end up blind. And he's talking about spiritually blind. I don't know why I was thinking about this today, but I wish the news... Could you imagine if the news had any spirituality about it? If it really had anything that was... I mean like a regular like Chronicle Telegram or a Cleveland Plain Dealer. Could you imagine if the paper had any bent or any interest in spiritual things? we would, okay, something like 9/11, that, you know, that went on for weeks and months, and I'm not minimizing that, but it's something I can think of that's a big news story, you know, I guess recently. And they said some, you know, this time of the year they review some of the headline things, those three girls, you know, in Cleveland and stuff, we make the national news. But you know what, if the paper had a real spiritual, if it was really reporting spiritual news, you know it would be, I was thinking about this today, you know it would be on the headline? Bob Jones goes into eternity without a profession of Christ. That's what would make the front page. Wouldn't care about whether the stock market went up 5 or 10 points. Wouldn't care if Lexus produces the highest number of cars this year. We wouldn't care what the price of gold was. I sit there on gas money and go, man, where's the closest gas station where I can save 7 cents? I wouldn't care about that. You know that? I'd care about Bob Jones spending an eternity in a real hell. That's what I'd care about. And anybody that doesn't know Christ is destined right for there. I know we know it in our minds, but we need to remember these things. Inside the church, most of the time I'm probably talking to Christians. When I walk out that door, it says, broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Who's going to talk to him if I'm not going to talk to him? Who's going to tell him about Jesus? I got saved. I know where I'm going. Peter writes and he says, I want you to remember some things. I know you're established in them. I know that you already know about them, but you need to remember the things that are important. You know, I was talking to somebody just not even that long ago, and they said, you know, I went to college, but, you know, the college I went to, it just wasn't, they had one major problem with it. The biggest problem that college had was is that they didn't let me test out. Like, I was going to these classes, I knew everything that was in the class, and it was just boring. I wish they would have just let me test out of class. Now, the funny thing was, it was a Christian college. I said, you know what? Maybe, I'm thinking about this message. I said, you know, maybe there was something in the class, even though you already knew it, maybe there was a possibility you could have learned some more. You know, I wanted to test out of those classes. I should have been a junior my first 3 weeks there. I know almost everything they were saying. I'll never forget this guy. He's a good friend of mine. I haven't seen him for years. His name is Bob Holland. And I said, Bob, this is a long years ago. I used to, after I got saved out of a, I don't think about this other than to think about that, praise the Lord that He saved me, but I was a drug addict and an alcoholic before I got saved. That's what the Lord, praise Jesus. He's the one that changed my life. I don't spend much time thinking about that, but I remember right after I got saved, I found I had, you wouldn't believe how much time I had all of a sudden when I wasn't doing all this stuff that was just a waste. I had hours and hours and hours and hours. And I took up the hobby of exercising. I really liked working out. I thought there's worse things to do, so I'd just go to the gym. And I was kind of excited about weekends, because on the weekdays I could only work out for about 4 hours and they close the place down. And it was just such a bummer to go home when you're exercising. You say, you got a problem, Brother Becker? Okay, I got lots of problems. I'm just telling you, that's what happened to me when I first got saved. I liked to exercise. And I'll never forget Bob Holland. He was my buddy, and we went up to the gym together, and I said, and over the PA system they go, we're going to have a sit-up class from 7:30 till 8:45. It's a free class. Anybody that would like to come can come and do sit-ups with us. It's 7:30. All are welcome. And I looked over at Bob, and I said, man, Bob, that's got our name on it. Let's go up there, man. We can do 45 minutes of crunches and learn new sit-ups and just work out like crazy. I said, let's go. And he goes, I'll never forget this. He goes, no thanks. I already know how to do a sit-up. You know, just because I know something in the Bible doesn't mean I shouldn't exercise it. Exercise these things. You know them. Paul said, those things you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, they're two tough letters, do. There's something about doing that helps the Christian when he goes through life. The Lord wants to use us and He wants it to be that way. So Peter writes and says, I want you to remember these things. So if you're like me, you're kind of thinking, I wonder what, at this point in the message, you got to be thinking, what are these things? He's been saying we got to remember these things. And I could say, what things do you think Peter is talking about? We know that the best answer in Sunday school is always Jesus, right? And that's always a good answer. We should be thinking about Jesus, that's for sure. The number two, close runner-up, is we should be thinking about the Bible. Yes, those are some of these things that we should be thinking about. But you know what? And I would say amen to those. But I want to know exactly what these things are that Peter's talking about. He's more specific than that. And I was going to kind of start out saying what these things are, but I first wanted to lay a foundation and say that Peter is writing and saying, you may be comfortable with some information we're going to look at right here. You may have some of these verses memorized. You may be real familiar with these verses. And Peter's saying, he's saying to me, and he's saying to you, that's a dangerous place to be. I want you to remember these things. So what are these things that Peter talks about? Let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he tells us these things right in verses, well, mostly verses 5, 6, and 7. 1 Peter, we're going to read verse 4 though. 1 Peter, sorry, why do I keep saying that? Whenever I say 1 Peter, we're never in 1 Peter. It's always 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, wherefore are given unto you exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence. Okay, so if you're going to remember these things, Peter's encouraging you one way, saying it's not going to happen by accident. Oh, I'll probably just sit back and, while I'm sipping on my soda, be thinking about these things. No, you're going to need to be diligent about it. You're going to have to push things aside, turn off the TV, turn off the internet, turn off work, turn off all the activity. You know what it's like at Christmas time? Turn it down. And Peter says you're going to have to be diligent and think about these things. He says, besides all this, giving all diligence. So he wants us to work at it. Now I'm going to do a little, I don't know if you're going to be kind of tricked the way I was when I read this at first. But he says, and besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So he gives this list of, it looks like, I think, seven things, but we'll look at it a little closer. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So what's it look like the first thing of these things is? You're thinking virtue? That's what I was thinking, but that's not really what I think he was talking about. He says, add to your faith. I was starting my sermon, virtue, looking it up, starting to write the thing. Well, wait a minute. There's a lot of, can I say this? There's a lot of virtuous people that have never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what? It just works. He says, add to your faith. He said, faith has got to be the first thing. And faith, my brothers and sisters in Christ, has an object. Verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know that faith has an object. There's a guy, I still got to talk to this guy. There's a guy at work that's got a banner on his cubicle. I'm making it seem like it's really big. The cubes are only a banner on his cubicle that says believe. It's just got believe on the cube. I have got to talk to this guy. I don't have any reason to think that he's a Christian. But he's got believe on there. Well, just because you believe doesn't make you a Christian. What are you believing in? Everybody's believing in something. Most people are believing in their good works, to tell you the truth. If you sum everything up, and it's definitely a form of pride, most people say, I'm not that bad of a person that you talk to. People that haven't been saved, that you put the water and put the pot on, boil it down, that's what you're going to find out. I'm not that bad of a person. That's how they look at it. They can find somebody else that's worse than them, and so they're not that bad a person. They're trusting in themselves. Faith has an object. Well, was Peter talking about that? Yes. We just read verse 1, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord." Verse 11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Verse 14, "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty." He had faith, but his faith had a definite object, didn't it? He had his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This is my favorite, probably, picture illustration. You say, "Do you have your faith and trust in Christ?" I say, "I do." "Do I believe that this is a chair?" "Yes, I believe this is a chair." "Do you think that chair will hold you up, Brother Becker?" "I think that chair..." Here, you guys are missing out. I think that chair will hold me up. I think it's a fine chair. See the way it comes down off the steps? That's a rugged chair. Do you think you can sit on it?" "I think I could sit on it." "You think it would fail you?" "I don't think it would fail you." "Why don't you prove it?" I get on here like this. I'm trusting this chair to hold me up. That is not how I'm trusting Jesus. I got to tell you, I'm like this. I am trusting him all the way, every way, in every way I can think of. I got an object in my faith. It is Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the only one that's worth trusting in. He's the only one that deserves honor and glory and praise. Our faith has got to be an object. I can't just say I'm a person of faith. What does that mean? We got to put some teeth on our words, don't we? I mean, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. He says, add to your faith. If you don't have faith, you're none of these. None of this means anything. If you don't have your faith and trust in Christ and Him alone for salvation, this whole message of Peter doesn't mean a thing to you. It's not going to make sense, and it's going to be unprofitable. There's got to be a foundation. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation have no man laid but Jesus Christ." I'm sorry, which is Jesus Christ. You know, I built a sunroom. It was one of the worst times of my life. I don't know why. I thought for a little while I'd be a construction contractor, just take that off as a side job, me being the construction guy. That was miserable. And you know where it started at? There's these things called sonotubes. They're about, they come in different sizes, but mine were about, I think they were 18-inch sonotubes. Maybe a foot, I don't know, but they were about this big. And they go 3 feet down in the ground. They were my foundation. They were my pillars. They were what I was going to build my sunroom on. Fortunately, I have a mighty Mitsubishi tractor. My neighbor has one of those things that digs holes in the ground, and I was ready to go. I had my construction hat on. It said, "Paul the Construction Guy." I was all set. Everything's going good. So I dig my holes for my sunroom. I get my sonotubes. I read on the internet, put sonotubes. And I said, you know, those guys that just put their concrete right to the ground and then build wood on top of it, what a waste. I'm going to make my concrete up to where I want it, and I'll just step my stuff right on that solid foundation. So I put my sonotubes in. Had my water level, still had my construction hat on, and I was finding out the sonotubes didn't want everything working together against itself. The sonotubes weren't wanting to be perfectly level. So I'd kick a little dirt in the hole and move the sonotube up and down, kick a little dirt in the hole, pick it up, hit it down, boom. Got my level this way, level that way, water level, line levels, cross sections, everything's ready. Bring the concrete truck in, all of down in the sonotubes, filling up these 3.5 feet things with concrete. Oh man, was I excited. I got my foundation laid. Well, then it rained after that, and I went back out and I looked at the sonotubes. In the sonotubes that I had spent a lot of time lining up the sonotubes, some of them were going like this, some of them were up here, some of them were over this way. Well, what happened to the sonotubes? Well, it turns out it isn't such a great idea to kick loose dirt in the bottom of your concrete hole, because when the concrete goes in there and it rains and the concrete goes down to where the loose dirt was. You know what? I'm glad my foundation, Jesus Christ, isn't like my stupid sonotubes. I can put my faith and trust in Him and know that He's going to do what He told me. He said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to see you through this life. I'm going to give you a reason to live, and I'm going to promise you a home in heaven forever and ever. That's my Savior. That's the one that you have to have a foundation. And faith always has an object. Okay. I'm just laughing because I entertain myself. We are going to move on to... We're going to have an abbreviated kind of message, definitely. So we're going to move on to faith was our first thing, and virtues our second. And we're still in point one about remembering these things we already know. This is probably more of like, you guys all have phobias, don't you? I have such a phobia about getting up here and being done in 5 minutes. It just would be the worst thing in life for me. So I always make a little extra. But we will strive to be on time, whatever that time is. Let's look. Okay, so faith has an object, okay? And then he says, add to your faith virtue. And he says, I want you to give diligence to add virtue. Now that word virtue is very interesting to me. Four times it's translated, the word is, I shouldn't even try this. I should just spell it, A-R-E-T-E. Does anybody know how to say A-R-E-T-E in Greek? Greek, A-R-E-T-E. It's definitely either arete, arete, ariat, or arete. Okay, one of those, definitely. Brother Gansler, you mass that over with the right pronunciation later on, okay? Thank you. So it's the same word, and it's translated virtue four times. And it's only translated, it's only in one verse two times, only here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, and besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. So virtue's in here twice, like a lot of the words are, and Peter's really emphasizing these specific words. He's saying, I want you to add to your faith virtue. So the other time that it's translated virtue is in we said this verse earlier in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, right? So that's the other time the word's translated virtue. It's also translated virtue in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So we're still in 2 Peter. He uses that same word again. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he uses that word is translated virtue there too. And then only one time it's not translated virtue. And I want, this is going to be like, if it was Sunday school class, we'd do more of an interactive thing. But I look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to go to the second chapter, verse 9. This is the only other time the word is translated something other than virtue. And if you're like me, you're going to think, I thought it was a lot of different words than what it really is, okay? So try in 2 Peter, or this really is 1 Peter. You know when I told you we're never in 1 Peter? We really are in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And now look at these words and see if you can think of which one is areti, okay? But ye are a chosen generation. That sounds pretty special, doesn't it? Chosen generation. A royal priesthood. That sounds to me, that sounds kind of like virtuous, something very positive, a royal priesthood. A holy nation. That's where my bet would be if I was looking at the word that it's the same word, but it's not translated virtue here. A holy nation. I probably would have thought holy nation. A peculiar people. I could put a checkbox there. But you know what I mean by that, right? A peculiar people are supposed to be different from the world. I would have thought that's the idea of virtue too, being different from the world, a peculiar people. Guess what? It's none of those. Guess what word it is? It's amazing to me. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know what word it is? It's praises. I thought, praises? Why would virtue be translated praises? And as usual, I know when there's a question arising like this, there's smoke coming out of my ears, the wheels are spinning, and there's something wrong up here because I don't know it. And the Lord's going to put it there for a reason, right? You know why? Look at what it says. It should, that ye should show forth the praises, what? Of Him. It's not about our virtue, you know that? Well, we should have the characteristics of virtue. The Lord tells us to think about those things. But the virtue is supposed to bring praise to Jesus Christ. That's what it, the virtue's about. If I just sit here, have you ever heard somebody tell a testimony about, hey, do you know if you're going to heaven when you die? Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. I was sitting on in a winter storm. I've heard a guy say this. I was in a winter storm, and the truck was going uphill, and the battery died, and it was 10 below zero, and there was only one way for me to get the truck started, and that was using, it had a clutch, and I needed, and the truck needed to roll. And I prayed and asked the Lord to move my truck forward, and that truck, believe it or not, it went up the hill. I let the clutch out. The engine started. I know I'm going to heaven. If you hear a testimony that doesn't clearly have Jesus Christ in it, Him is the foundation, Him is the pillar, Him is the rock. I'm not in the camp of let's all hold hands, sing kumbaya, and see what we have in common. If there's anything about what's peculiar, we're supposed to gladly and happily and privileged be different. That virtue that we're talking about, there should be a difference about us. There's no doubt about it. But the virtue that to me is exciting is the virtue that we can talk about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That's the virtue. That's the praise. That's the thing that is praiseworthy. What Jesus did on that cross. I remember when I was sitting at work one time and this guy, I said, I got saved. He goes, I forget why he was asking me this. I'm going to forget my own name one of these days, but I forget why we got to this point in the conversation. I said, Lord, open the door. I told him about when I got saved. November 8th, 1987, I put my faith and trust in Christ. I used to have all kinds of troubles. I did what I thought was just going to please me. It came up to be empty and void and worthless. I asked Christ to come into my heart. He changed me and made me a new creature. He made me different. I'll never forget this guy. He goes, yeah, I'm glad you got Jesus, but you got to realize that you really made up your mind to do that. I said, I put my faith and trust in Christ. He changed me from the inside out. He changed me. He goes, no, you made up your mind too. That was on your part. And I said, listen, before I got saved, I tried to stop doing a lot of things that were wrong. It never worked. I always went around like a dog going back to its vomit. It never worked. I put my faith and trust, and He changed me. And He goes, yeah, but you made your mind up. I said, you're not hearing me. Jesus changed me. I'm losing my testimony. He's making me mad. He's not understanding. It's not me. It's the praises of Him. He's the one that is the virtuous one. He's the one that does the changing. And He's the one that does the holding. So it's the praises of Him. It says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Although I don't have to work tomorrow, I know some of you do. And I'm going to try, and I think I'm just going to go to the application. Okay? Will you? I'm sorry we didn't get to study all these words about what Peter wants us to do. There just isn't enough. I'm not very good with time, and there's too much in God's Word to study in just a short time. I would like to go to the application though, and that is on page 7. Paul says, "I want you to remember these things," and he says, He also says that I want you to remember these things while I am with you. Okay, he told you I want you to remember these things already. You know them. He says, I want you to remember these things while I'm with you. When you look at verse 13. Yeah, I think it means as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So Peter's writing and he's saying, I'm with you and I want you to remember these things. Now for us Christian, the simple thing is that we can't be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. You know, the Lord puts opportunities in our life every day. He puts people in our path every day. There's someone to minister today for you. You know that? Well, today's getting towards the end. But I'll just tomorrow, okay? The Lord's got somebody. I wouldn't give up on today either. You don't know who you're going to come across and who the Lord is going to put in your path to minister to. Peter's saying, I'm with you right now. Peter, the great apostle, he'd been with Christ. He's thinking about these things and he's saying, I'm with you right now. And Christian, we need to live in the moment, not for the moment. We need to live in the moment. Now, one time Rosemary and I there was this guy at Sherwin-Williams that, I don't know how he was a kind of a bigwig. And I wasn't, still am not. But he just was kind of nice. And we were in a class together, and he gave me tickets to the Cavs game when they used to be at the Coliseum. And these tickets, that's 20 years ago. I looked at these tickets, and they said $100, and I said, I don't know where these tickets are. $100 back then was a big, that's probably what they all are now, I don't know. But $100 back then was a very pricey ticket. And I said, I don't know where it's going to be, but these have got to be some good seats. Because he was like, well, a big week. So we get in the Coliseum, and we know we're not in section 200, and we know we're down here lower somewhere. It wasn't obvious where it was. It had like a double A on it or something. So you give it to one of the ushers and said, head down there. And it used to be that there was like, I think they played hockey and basketball, so there was kind of like this circle around when they were playing hockey that was still kind of set up for the basketball game, it seemed like. So go down to the usher down there. So go down there and show him the ticket. He opens the door to the ring and he walks us down, and here's player one, player two, player three. I forget their names. Okay, there's all these players along here. And then here's the coach sitting here. And then he goes, you sit here and you sit here. So I sit down here and Rosemary's sitting right here. And there's the coach and there's all the players all lined up. And we're just sitting here right with them with the water jug and mascot or whatever, and we're just sitting here. You don't stretch your feet out too far. You're sitting on the out of bounds line. It's just like right here, and we're sitting right there. And the game was going along, and you know how basketball is played. They get in this place where they substitute players in and out. So I'm sitting here, and the coach kind of gets up. You know how they throw their clipboard up and walk around. They're doing this, and the coach kind of comes walking up. And he points at one of the guys that's sitting here, the guy that's sitting like right here. And Rosemary's sitting here, and I'm right here. And the coach looks down there, and Rosemary looks over at me, and I go, because I know Rosemary's looking at me. I never saw the back of her head so fast in my life. She goes, whoa. And of course, they wanted this guy with the uniform and everything. But he, you know, I was looking right. You ever have somebody say earth to Paul? No, they don't say that to me. My name isn't Paul. But fill in your own name. You ever have an earth to fill in your name? Don't be so caught up in what happened yesterday and what's happening tomorrow that the person looks right through you and they don't see you. I've done that before. Think about the people that the Lord puts in your life and try and be a witness to them. Try and tell them about the Lord. He opens up opportunities for us every single day to tell people about. So Peter says, I want you to remember these things, and I also want you to, while I'm here, I'm going to tell you about these. And then he also says that he wants them to remember the things after I put off this tabernacle. He says, I want you to remember me. He had a concern about people that were lost and were going to follow him. The application is simple. Don't let your knowledge become a stumbling block for usefulness. Let's say that again. Don't let your knowledge become a stumbling block for usefulness. This probably isn't very nice, but I said, don't be a bobblehead Christian. Okay? Don't be a guy that just sits there and goes back and forth and he's got so much information up here, he's really got to prop his head up. I know we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved, but that doesn't negate us being in useful service and living for the Lord. He wants us to do things with the things we learn. He says, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. If you've learned some things, share them with others. Don't just be somebody that's just trying to absorb more knowledge. Knowledge has an object, and the most important part is Jesus Christ. If you're going to learn something, man, we missed a whole thing I wanted to talk about, but if you're going to learn about something, have you ever met somebody that just seems, my car stalled. Oh, it's fuse number 7. Look and see if it's bent. A 1974 Mazda is known for that. You know people that know stuff about cars and things like that, or they know, you know, my house has a leak in it. Oh, the flashing was probably made in 1970. They just know stuff about things. There's people like that. Okay, good. It's practical. We don't need to go through life not knowing anything. But when we stand before the Lord, I think we're really going to be more wanting to know about things about Jesus than we are about all these other things. Knowledge, the most important knowledge is that of Jesus Christ. That's where he says, after you have virtue, then knowledge. Knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just learning everything we can. It says in verse 9 very plainly, don't forget you were purged from your old sins. Christian, don't ever forget about that. Don't forget that Jesus died on a cross for your sins. Don't forget that you'll have a home in heaven forever. That'll encourage you. Think about how He paid for my sins. Me, He paid for my sins. See the opportunity that the Lord has for you at this very moment. You say, what do you mean by that? See opportunities the Lord has for you at this very moment. I'll use this as a small object lesson. In a minute, we're going to have a song of invitation. We're all gathered together and we're trying to study about Peter. This may be familiar to you. You may know about these verses and read about them and studied them. You know how we talked about how if you don't have your faith first, the Lord may have put you here tonight just so you could put your faith and trust in Christ. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. The Lord has opportunities for each and every one of us. If you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, my kind and loving plea from Peter and from the Lord Jesus is that today would be the day that you put your faith and trust in Christ. I'd like us all to stand together. We'll have a song of invitation.